This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
Good morning and happy day after Memorial Day. Thanks so much for joining us on Morning Air. It's Glenn in for John today as we kind of get back to it here. It's a short week and we can make it. And summer here for most of the country now. We appreciate that as well, getting to enjoy a little warmer environment. Coming up before the hour is through, we're going to give you the chance to sound off a little bit too on some of those great travel memories as we're heading into summer here. We'll have some ideas with Kim Morgan on great ways to create some summer memories and share some of those memories too, especially the ones that didn't go according to plan. So often it's those trips that take a few unplanned detours that end up making the best memories. So Kim Morgan will join us and we'll talk about that before the hour is through and share some of those memorable times that maybe didn't go according to our parents' plans or even our plans as parents, but do make the best stories. So we'll be swapping some summertime travel stories before this hour is through as well. Today is the Feast of the Visitation. Pope Francis has asked all the faithful to join him in praying for peace today. The Holy Father will pray the rosary in front of the Queen of Peace statue in Rome, asking for Our Lady's intercession for peace in Ukraine and an end to wars worldwide. You can join Pope Francis and pray along with Catholics and Christians around the world. We'll broadcast the Holy Father's rosary live today at 11 Central here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. So we do hope you can join us for that as well. Part of the weekend's activities, a line of severe storms in parts of the upper Midwest and western and west central Minnesota affected very strongly, and that negatively affected our next guest, Father Jeremy Plouffe, serving in the Diocese of St. Cloud, who was to join us live, unable to due to power still being out from last night. But we caught up with Father Plouffe recently and had a chat about bringing young people back into the church.
Getting young people back to church. There's a lot of rebuilding that needs to be done in the wake of COVID and just kind of general demographic trends, and maybe some slow to come back after some of the church scandals and the like. But always, no matter how things are rolling along, we need to keep the church alive for the next generation. And so we're going to talk a little bit about reaching young folks today and what that takes. And it used to be, Father, that the pattern would be hopefully kids get going when they're baptized and show up every week for religious ed and get confirmed and keep on going and never stop. Not an uncommon way was kids to maybe fall away a little bit toward college and in return, and certainly when it was time to get married and have kids and get them baptized and all of that. But none of that seems automatic anymore. Do we need to kind of camp out on that reality a little bit and know that our work is cut out for us?
Absolutely. And I think that's a great observation, Glenn, about, you know, this is not your grandfather's church, you might say, in that that usual progression of, you know, there might be a hiccup or two during the college years, but for the most part, everybody is back in line or back in the pews and contributing to the parish, not only with their finances, but also with their time. But you're absolutely right in that we're not seeing this anymore. And I think a mistake that a lot of us will fall into, and I'm just as guilty as anyone on this, is to just sort of get frustrated and say, well, they should be. They should be coming. That it's their responsibility. It's their obligation. They should be coming. And while that's true, you know, the baptized have the obligation to attend Mass, you know, I think rather than just saying that or deciding that or declaring that, we need to have a more forward-moving angle of, well, even if that is their obligation and they're not fulfilling that obligation, maybe there's something you and I and everyone else out there, maybe there's something we can do to help them fulfill that obligation or help them even realize this is not merely an obligation but a great thing to do, attend Mass.
One of the things a recent study showed is that kids as young as 12, 13 years old made that decision to maybe as much as it's in their power to quit going. Those that would fall away, the falling away happens younger and younger. I believe that must have been a shock to several.
Sure, sure. And certainly it still surprises me hearing those numbers again and again. It's certainly not something that would have occurred to me that young. Although, I mean, I will admit, you know, if my parents would have said, hey, you can sleep in this Sunday, I probably would have been all about that. Sounds great, Mom. No worries. But to that end, there is something, again, something fresh in the air, something new in the water where questioning any authority, the church included, is certainly part of the mix in school these days and in the culture of the young, and it's not to be excluded from the culture of the more seasoned adults, middle age and higher, where we say, you know, maybe I'm not quite so sure about the church anymore. I'm not quite so sure about Mass, and so not only do we need to reengage our own self and make sure that I'm not just coming to Mass out of old habit, this is what I do on Sunday morning as opposed to Tuesday morning, but also make sure that, hey, I help other people realize, hey, Mass is important. I might not be able to articulate every single reason in the moment, but I can help myself out and then hopefully help others in coming to find those answers of why coming to Mass together on Sunday is super important.
And maybe just a little bit of proper respect, Father, to building that habit, though. I mean, going because you have to until you realize all the other reasons why you ought to want to be there.
Yes. And I remember a friend of mine in college, he was a year behind me in college, he talked about, he liked to use that word naivete, which it's not my favorite word, but he said exactly what you're saying, Glenn, in that, you know, at some point we just do even homework at school because we have to. You know, we're not going to get to go out for recess if we don't have our homework done. But then hopefully at some point we'll come to appreciate learning for its own sake, or appreciate learning because I'm interested in this topic, or appreciate learning because I want to have a career in this field, and so I better know that field, I better know that science inside and out, if I want to be successful at my future job or career. And so there's something similar with the church. I'm like, yes, there's a sense of, yes, we have to go to church, and maybe a vague sense of, you know, it's important to go to Mass. But then also in that following through with that going to Mass, coming to realize why this is important, making it our own, and then just like the careerist, get excited about doing that worship at Mass.
Also along those lines, in terms of not letting ourselves think it's so much of a choice as much as, well, it's an obligation, but a happy obligation to be there. And thinking of not so much even the jobs we can do as volunteers around the parish, but even at Mass, we can be helpful to others by being there. And it's not only for our own amusement or the feelings that we may or may not get on any given week.
Sure. I mean, in all sorts of ways of just inspiring people by your own presence. Just like, hey, John and Jane Doe showed up. That moves me to recognize, hey, maybe I was dragging myself here, but John and Jane Doe came, and golly, that might inspire me to be more fervent in my attendance at Mass. Or even just the simplest thing, I mean, even laying aside, as you said, you know, volunteering with stuff at the church, even just saying, I'm going to sing out, whether my voice isn't the best or always on key, or maybe I don't even know the tune. But that can, even in itself, that simple thing of, all right, I'm going to give it what I got as long as I'm here, that can move so many other people to just not only feel more comfortable being at Mass, more comfortable participating in Mass, but even inspire them just by that simple, almost effortless thing of singing at Mass to make sure they can be all the more fervent themselves and saying, I want to explore why this Christian thing is so important, because I see these other people singing at Mass and celebrating the Eucharist. That can be just the thing that pushes the person who might just be on the edge of not being so confident in coming to Mass to say, I want to find out why this Christian thing is so important.
Father Jeremy Plouffe, our guest, talking about re-engaging young people in our parishes, getting them to stay, getting them to come back, and doing a better job of both of those things. I think we talked a little bit about that, you know, age around 12, 13, when kids start to think a little more for themselves and enter those wonderful teen years, sometimes deciding to move away from the faith a bit. But I think during those years, for me, I grew up and went to Sunday school, depending how often my folks would drop me off. Some years were better or more involved than others. But during 7th and 8th grade, we had to show up every week for our Lutheran confirmation and learned a lot about the nuts and bolts, you know, put little pieces and snips here and there together. And then about the same time, the movie Jesus of Nazareth, which is one of the most excellent film versions of the life of our Lord, was on TV at the same time. And that was a 1-2 punch for me, to the degree that I was so fired up. I even remember writing little graffiti in my math book that Jesus lives, you know. And I mean, how crazy was that? And so, you know, I was on fire at that point, and we had a pretty good youth group, really good youth group, and that got me going quite a lot. Even the youth Sunday school stuff was good for high schoolers, let alone the field trips and things like that that we would take. But then I soon was drawn upon to start teaching the, I think, sixth graders myself as a high schooler, because we needed anybody that was willing and a bit fired up. And I missed out a little bit on some of the more learning myself. But I think to engage young people of any age, when they're at those points of being fired up, you know, maybe it is during that intensive confirmation education. Maybe it's, you know, at whatever point in life, it's something you can tell if you're in their life, you're in that young person's life, and that faith light bulb seems to have gone off or started to burn a little more brightly. You know, let's continue to activate them.
You know, I think, Glenn, that experience of yours in your high school years and middle school years, too, that you were talking about, see, that just gets me, like, we already have the answer. You know, we don't need a new program, you know, or this complicated study of, well, what are we going to do to slightly more encourage a higher percentage of people this age to that age to attend Mass. You know, it's you know, no deposit, no return. Another friend of mine from college, he was a senior when I was a freshman, he kept saying to me, like, anyone can smell phony miles and miles away. But when we have your testimony here, Glenn, about, hey, I was so excited, I wrote in my math book, Jesus Lives, and I even said, I'm going to help teach the elementary school kids, even though I'm only in high school, that's the secret sauce. That's the, hey, we have this excitement and, right, no deposit, no return. So if I'm going to get something out of this, I better put something into it myself. And that's what's so exciting, too, to see when we have great examples of lots of great young people, whether it's middle school, high school, college, or 20-somethings, where we see them like, yes, I do value this, and I see the value in that, and they want to put more into the holy faith. And that alone can give a lot of us a great deal of joy and excitement and then catch fire ourselves from their excitement. But then hopefully, in all of us saying, this is important to me, I want to light the fire for other people to see as well, to not get discouraged by the lack of immediate results or the fact that, you know, maybe some people who we're really hoping we'd reach are not so receptive. You know, we have to play the long game, if you will, and say, like, you know what, I'm going to keep on doing the best for the church, the best for the faith, and then hopefully over the long term, we'll get a lot more people a lot more excited to share what we already can see.
We've talked earlier, Father, about a survey showing the different reasons why people begin attending church. And far and away, just blowing everything else out of the water, was a personal invitation from someone else. Hey, a friend saying, hey, join me, come along, let's go to this, let's go to that, let's go to a Mass. That was like 80-some% compared to anything else. And I think a pastoral visit was maybe 6% and maybe 2% for advertising or any kind of fancy marketing campaigns we do. That really speaks to that power, and coupled with the authenticity, especially this younger generation today, you know, maybe the baby boomers were used to being sold all the time, so they almost kind of expect a little bit of spin and try to communicate in that way, but authenticity wins the day anymore for sure. So, you know, that no frills. Hey, come on along. I know you haven't been there before, and there's a few things that'll seem weird, but let's get through it. Maybe you can enjoy the message and worry about when to stand up and sit down later, and just, you know, being honest about it.
You know, and I think so. I think so, and everything from my own limited experience of even going to one of the local league baseball games. Of, you know, I you know, as much as I love baseball, like even for a local baseball team, I find myself a little hesitant. Like, I don't know if I'm going to go to a game, but somebody else just says to me, like, hey, I go sometimes. Why don't we, you know, get a ticket on the same day and we'll meet each other there? That kind of gets me like, okay, yes, now I'm going to go and see what this local baseball team is all about. And all the more so with the faith, in that it tends to be something where we see the faith so often as this private thing that, hey, like, I don't want to tell anyone else what to believe. And just the frustration that this priest, and I'm sure every priest in the diocese has, when people say, like, well, I don't want to tell anyone what to think, or I don't want to invite anyone to Mass because it might make them uncomfortable. It's like, well, goodness sakes, you know, the whole point of receiving the faith, receiving grace from the sacraments, is to spread the word, share it with others. And as you were referencing in that survey, Glenn, like, just the simplest thing is to say to a friend, a family member, a neighbor, like, hey, let's go to Mass together. Let's go to Mass together. Yeah, sure, as you said, Glenn, it might be, some things might look a little weird to you or unusual or unfamiliar, but all the more, I want to show you what greatness is inside those church walls.
Good ideas there from Father Jeremy Plouffe out of the St. Cloud, Minnesota Diocese, joining us a while back. Father Plouffe being affected by a power outage this morning, with many in parts of Minnesota being hit by tornadoes and severe storms, high winds last night as well, still having some lingering effect as well. That would make one need a break. That might make one need a vacation. That might even make one willing to plan a family vacation. Packing up the station wagon. Oh, wait, we don't drive those anymore. How about the van? No, it's probably that big pickup with extra capacity for seating in the back row. Yeah, how about that? We'll hit the road next and talk about some of those trips that didn't turn out quite as planned, but boy, did we make good memories with those. We'll share some of those and invite you to share yours as well. Kim Morgan joins us when we continue with more of Morning Air right around the corner here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. What a great song to get us in the mood to hit the road here. Talking about hitting the road here over the next half hour, and not literally hitting the road this half hour, but maybe starting to think about plans for the summer, those summer vacations, family vacations, the importance of that, the trauma that may cause, how entertaining that trauma can be in future years when we look back and reminisce about those trips that didn't go according to plan. We'll do that in just a moment. Again, Glenn in for John today. You know what else is coming up today? Something special for you at 11 here. Today is the Feast of the Visitation, and Pope Francis has asked all the faithful to join him in praying for peace. The Holy Father will pray the rosary in front of the Queen of Peace statue in Rome, asking for Our Lady's intercession for peace in Ukraine and an end to wars worldwide. You can join Pope Francis, pray along with Catholics and Christians around the world. Will broadcast the Holy Father's Rosary live today at 11 Central, 11 Central this morning, here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. So please do join us for that. Joining us now from St. Louis, Missouri, she's a licensed independent clinical social worker, Catholic wife and mom, and a regular contributor on Morning Air and elsewhere on Catholic Radio. Kim Morgan joins us this morning. Kim, great to have you along.
Good morning, Glenn. It's good to be along with you today. In fact, introducing me from St. Louis. St. Louis used to be where we'd want to go for summer vacation, and now we get to bask in it all the time in St. Louis.
Oh, my goodness. I suppose it was a big metropolis from not too far away, Evansville, Indiana. But I tell you, now that we're into official, unofficial summer after Memorial Day weekend here, maybe we've had those plans cooking for a while, or time to think about where we ought to go with the kids, or even just as a couple to head out, or individually, maybe do something you haven't done before. What's the importance, even from the kind of psychological social worker point of view, to have a break of some sort, especially during the summer?
Well, I think those breaks allow us to kind of recharge our battery. It gets us in the off mode from what we do as a routine and sets us in a new mind set. And what that helps us to do is kind of clear up what is going on in a routine basis. And when we get that chance to reset, it revitalizes us. It refreshes us. It gives us a change that is often needed, just to turn off that routine and do something new, something unexpected, something that you yourself has to fluctuate with. So when you go on a summer vacation, or maybe you just even take a break from being at work or being in your normal school routine, you have an opportunity to do something new, and it stretches your brain, it stretches your your spirituality, and even your sometimes it tries your patience if you're traveling with your family members. So all these challenges are probably good for us in the sense it helps us to be a more well-rounded person. Sometimes the structure of daily life can put us in a very rigid routine. Many of us have very strict jobs that we have to adhere certain things to every day, and with these kinds of breaks in the routine gives us that chance to, I don't know, find the lighter side of ourselves and find that joy again that sometimes we forget about along our journey.
Well, we are supposed to carry on with that that Christian joy, absolutely. And part of that is not being overburdened with everything that we have to do all the time. Our mind does need a little space to regenerate and refresh and relax and renew what's going on. And that's a great way to do it, to get away, do something different than the routine, even if it's could be some kind of physical labor that might be different from the mental labor that we might do on a regular basis. But to switch it up and do something different for a Catholic audience, maybe they're thinking, wow, we can visit a new shrine and take a pilgrimage of some sort. Doesn't have to be international, as fun as that might be, but to check out some local shrines that probably aren't that far away, that are easy to do even in a day if you spend a little time doing that, looking up something different, even visiting a different parish. Maybe it's a cathedral in a different town if you're on vacation, can be a bit of a pilgrimage too.
It's always fun to check out the cathedrals wherever you're traveling. That's kind of on the bucket list that we do as a family. We try to see at least a new church, if not the cathedral in the area, maybe take a tour and scout out what Catholic sites are around the area, because all it does is enhance even further the idea that how universal our Catholic Church is and how big it is. And it teaches the young people and our families that it's not just our parish down the road that we go to that we see every week, and maybe not even a couple of the Catholic churches in our community, but really worldwide, the church is present. You can attend it in any city, in any language, and it's still the exact same Mass. And I think that's a beautiful piece of information to pass on to kids, that until they really experience it that way, they don't really grasp how big it is. When you can hear the creed being said in another language and you don't know what the words are, except you can hear the repetition, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. You always know where you are in any Mass, in any language, when you hear those words repeated. And that has just been something beautiful to watch unfold with ourselves and our kids in going to Masses all over the world. But definitely get out this summer, and even if it's just the next community over, check out some of their churches or their cathedral and see what's going on. And I think it can help really expand our kids' knowledge of the church.
Well, I tell you, you know, masstimes.org is an awesome resource to be able to find Mass times wherever you're at. If you're traveling, there's usually never a Catholic church that far away. And even if your phone isn't working, say you happen to visit another country, say you happen to go across the border about a half hour into Ontario, Canada, to beautiful Thunder Bay, and you know your way around, so you don't necessarily need the Maps app to help you find your way around, but maybe you thought you'd look on there to see where and when the next Mass would be if you're visiting on a Saturday afternoon, and well, your phone's not working in another country. And so what do you do? Well, what we did one time, Kim, we actually realized, oh, it's about 4:15, we should try to figure this out for 5 o'clock Mass, Vigil Mass on a Saturday. Well, we had to look for the steeple. Well, there's some steeples over there, let's take a closer look. And yep, we found a Catholic church, and yep, the Mass was starting at 5, and in away we went. Another country, but of course they speak English, albeit in this case with a French accent, as the priest did in Thunder Bay, Ontario, but it was a great experience. We felt very much at home, and we're even welcomed from south of the border. And we're thinking, oh, there's visitors here from Mexico. Wait, no, he's talking about us. Yeah, all the way down in Minnesota here. But in addition to being able to look up ahead of time, but church steeple, some of the original advertising for the Catholic Church, the architecture. And so that can be done as well. Kim Morgan joining us for Morning Air here on Relevant Radio, talking about those family vacations and not only the great and carefully crafted and planned out pilgrimages, but, you know, the stuff we remember are the things, you know, granted, I grew up Lutheran, but
Even if I hadn't, I don't know that pilgrimages would have been on our agenda for a family trip. My dad loved fishing. And so as we share some of those stories of trips that are very memorable, mostly because they didn't go according to plan, I shall start us out with a talk of being stranded on a rock as an eight-year-old. Somehow, someone probably at work had convinced my dad that the best fishing in the world was about a 4 to 5 hour drive north of where we lived in St. Paul, up on the edge of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area, northern Minnesota, a spot where you couldn't use a motor. But we didn't have a canoe and paddles. We had a motor and a small fishing boat, but this lake was on the edge of that, so you could still get away with it. But the thing was, you couldn't like just drive up and put your boat in and, you know, camp on shore. No, you had to camp on an island. And then to get to that lake, you had to go down this little creek about 3 miles. So we put in, my dad's friend and eight-year-old me and my dad, and you know, we're not canoe people, we're boat people, but there's a portage, which means, okay, there's rocks in the way. You kind of got to get out and walk around that and then put in your canoe on the downstream side. The water's running pretty good. We'll go right over the top. Well, no. The water came over the top of the back of the boat and we got stuck. So little Glenn, about 8 years old, was set upon a rock in the middle of the stream. And, well, my dad's friend climbed out through the water toward shore. My dad was throwing him things, I recall, or boat cushions floating downstream to be picked up by some helpful canoeists. And from there on, we every other year, we portaged. We actually carried the boat that you're supposed to. But the rocks were an issue even when you're going downstream. My job as little Glenn was to hang my nose over the front and point the way for my dad so the prop on the motor didn't hit the rocks and which way to go. And I wasn't maybe doing it quickly enough one time. And so my dad was standing up in the back of the little fishing boat and turned a little too quick and bloop. Over he went into the water just like that. Now, it's not super deep, but it's very cold because even in June, it was about 32 degrees that morning. And he climbed out of the water back into the boat so quickly, the money in his wallet never even got wet. But he was freezing cold by the time we drove across the lake to camp on that island. We got a fire going and warmed him up a little bit. But again, the great stories. And there was great fishing indeed. All except for the one Father's Day when we were up there and we'd been catching fish on Friday and Saturday. And I thought, you know, maybe 10-year-old smart little Glenn, I'll give my dad a fish for Father's Day on Sunday. And we go out in the morning and no fish. And it gets to be about 1 in the afternoon and I had to explain my plan. So at least I got credit for my plan to wish my dad a happy Father's Day that I hadn't forgotten. I was just waiting to give him a fish. And I didn't that day. Perhaps the loons ate all the fish. There was the first year I think we went, there was a loon on the other end of the northern that my dad's friend had on the line. And I don't recall who won that particular tug of war. But Kim, it's stories like that that we remember, things that didn't always go according to plan. And I know, Kim, I'm not alone in having stories like that.
Oh, you are certainly not. And in fact, it had just come up this weekend with one of my kids who, again, carries a little trauma from the whole experience. I think we decided in our great wisdom that our family lives down on a lake, and there are not many places to stay when you go to visit there. And their house is modest as it comes with only maybe one bedroom and a loft to sleep in. So not enough room for all the Morgans when they show up. So we thought, well, that's fine. We'll just rent an RV, right? A motor bus kind of thing. And so we rent this giant RV. Now, we've never rented an RV before. We've never owned an RV before.
Oh, it's so just like driving a sports car, isn't it? Just like driving
right.
a sports car.
You would think that maybe we would have practiced first. But, oh, no, we jump in all the way with this. And we get told a brief overview of the vehicle, and we're like, okay, we got this. Well, first thing, we're driving down the road, and the awning becomes loose, the kind that you can, like, once you park, you can roll it out and have, like, a patio area. So in 108-degree temperatures on the side of a superhighway, there's Robert climbing up on top of the RV to try to untangle this awning and straighten it out before we can continue on. Well, then the next little kid has to go to the bathroom on the way down, and so we're like, well, you know, that's fine. There's one right here in the RV. Okay, well, not supposed to use those when you're in motion. So the fumes and the odors from that were relentless the rest of the trip down. Not to mention the fact that, oh, yeah, half the Morgans love roller coasters and rides, but the other half needs to keep both feet on the ground. So the movement of the RV added to the odor with the kids that get motion sick, which made for a terrible two-day journey from Minnesota all the way down to the Gulf where we were headed to be with our family. So to this day, the kids never, ever let us forget what a horrific trip that was. And they probably couldn't tell you anything that we did once we got to our family's house and sat by the lake and we fished and we boated and we swam. But nothing compares to the story of the horrible RV rental.
No, that's the good thing about stories like that. Eventually, they can become fun. How long did it take for that to become a fun story as opposed to an incident that shall never be spoken of again?
Oh, yeah. I think they were bitter for a good 2 years. Yeah, 2 years before we could turn it into posterity there. But, yeah, we laughed about it because it was so adventurous and bold and kind of funny because that was not really the character of Robert and I to just, oh, yeah, we're just going to rent this thing and go. And the spontaneity of it all and the whimsicalness seemed like fun. And it's like, oh, we've got cool parents. We've got fun parents. But then it turned into kind of, wow, our parents didn't really think this through real well. So
have you rented an RV since there, Kim?
No. I think that's pretty much on the forbidden list. We are actually heading on that same family trip again this year, and we have another struggle with a place to stay, and they said we would rather not go than take the RV. So, pretty bad.
Well, Kim, it's not only you and I that have adventures or had adventures that didn't go well but turned out to be great stories. We invite listeners to share theirs as well at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Producer Sarah Tafoya has had adventures as well, Sarah.
Yeah, well, as a child, me and my family, usually right after Christmas, just because that's when my dad had time off, about every 3 to 4 years, we would go down to Disney World and we would drive down, sometimes just my two sisters and I and my parents, and sometimes an aunt or a friend were allowed to kind of come along on that family vacation. And one year in particular, since it is like wintertime, you know, in Florida it's nice and warm, but on the ride back, there was a snowstorm, and I can't exactly remember what state it is, but on the way back, as usually we would stop halfway through and sleep over at a hotel. We weren't able to make it to our hotel because the roads were blocked off because of the snowstorm. So we were directed off into an exit, and the Red Cross had set up shelters at different areas, locations there, because all the hotels were booked because everyone had to get off the highway. So we end up sleeping overnight at a Red Cross set up shelter at a Lutheran church, actually. And so here we are sleeping on the pews, which were cushioned. So right off the bat, I was like, these guys know what they're doing, because our parents did not have cushioned seats, and we were sleeping on the cushioned seats in the church area, and it was great. Actually, so I don't have any bad memory of that, but it's just like, that was not what we had planned. We weren't planning to, you know, just stop off, and whatever granola bars we had in the car was our meal for that day in the morning until it was cleared off and we can get back on the road. But that's a great story that our family likes to share about that experience. And that was the only time that happened, but very memorable. So I like that one.
Well, and you almost became Lutheran with those padded pews. Well,
I was close to conversion. I was like, oh, but Jesus in the presence. Okay, I'll stick with this.
It's a close one. Oh, sharing those great stories, maybe not great at the time, but in hindsight, they're awesome. More of those coming up when we continue with Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and on the Relevant Radio app. Oh, just remember, if it is a cruel summer on your trip, someday those tough times will be great stories. We're sharing those great stories. Glenn in for John today as we continue with Morning Air. Coming up in a few minutes, our story corner for the day. We'll take a look at the original declaration establishing Decoration Day, or Memorial Day as we know it now. We'll hear from the words of John Logan, a service member and also a U.S. senator from the 1800s. That's coming up in just a little bit. Back to it with Kim Morgan now. We're talking about, maybe trips that didn't go according to plan or went really well, too, as we think about those summer vacations. Kim, one of the most memorable trips I had, a couple of them, as a matter of fact, did come with church youth groups. I can remember a couple of weekend getaways, in maybe the mid-teen years, and just feeling like, wow, this was the best place in the planet for me to be. You know, the Spirit of the Lord was really kicking in. I can remember my head, even, you know, a youth group trip, my head hitting the pillow and feeling the most at peace I had ever felt. And so that's a possibility with some of these great youth group trips, what you want kids to get out of those trips. And then there are those like the time I was one of the, you know, early 20-something chaperones on a youth group trip. And that was a bit more of an adventure. And it's, I think the statute of limitations has expired now, some maybe, I don't know, 30 plus years later, so we're probably okay. But we were heading down about maybe an hour and a half drive from the church to a beautiful outdoor spot in Minnesota, and leaving on a Friday night, and it was starting to rain, and it was starting to get a little bit dark, and the brake light. I had my dad's camper truck we had borrowed, and we're going to have a big tent and also the camper for, sleeping. So I'm driving the camper and the brake light comes on and it's starting to rain. And, you know, I've got kids I'm responsible for here. We better pull over and see what the deal is. We hadn't really got all the way out of town yet. And so we went to a nearby service station, which didn't have any mechanics on duty that day. And it's just a little bit after 6 o'clock. We checked the next service station and that service bay garage door came down for good for the weekend just as we pulled in. And so they couldn't help either. So we skedaddled back to church and called my dad and his mechanic friend. They came over and after a thorough search of the vehicle, found no problems. But by then we thought, oh, by the time we get there, it'll be dark, and setting up a tent in the dark, this will be tough. Let's just stay overnight at the church. Well, let me tell you, my head did not hit the pillow in peace that night as a chaperone for a bunch of young people. I think we were awake all night long, thanks in particular to a couple of junior high boys. But we headed out bright and early the next morning on zero sleep. Got there without accident, which was good. But apparently we had a stowaway, sort of. But it was a girl that shouldn't have been on the trip, and she ended up falling and actually breaking her wrist and had to go to the hospital in the midst of this weekend trip. And, we didn't do a ton. One of the lessons I do recall from there, and again, this is the, I suppose, the early 80s, but in the 70s, our congregation had sponsored a lot of Southeast Asian refugee families out of Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos, etc. And some of the girls were along from a couple of those families. And, you know, the guys, the chaperones, we were doing the cooking with hamburgers, and they maybe weren't the most well-formed patties in the world. And so some of the meat started to slip through the cracks in the grill. And we were laughing about what bad cooks we were. And we were roundly kicked out of that job. And the girls from Vietnam took over because they understood you can't be wasting food. And that stuck with me to this day. For us, it was a laugh. For them, it was like, no, let us do this. We can't waste food. Uh-huh. And we did skedaddle after a very quick trip to head back home. Not without putting a little dent in my dad's truck. Not with another vehicle, thankfully. But the post that was protecting the gas pump and perhaps the rest of that town from going up in flames by my poor driving in the gas station. And I don't know, I think the youth group wound down not long after that. Like I say, I think the statute of limitations has expired. But anyway, some adventures. But those youth group trips really can be a game changer in a quite positive way for kids, can't they, Kim?
Oh, they really can. And I think we end up finding our own strengths when we get to be challenged like that. Sometimes we have to adapt to a difficult situation. Sometimes we have to improvise and figure out a new solution to what's going on. And for youth, that can be quite eye-opening, and they can discover a lot about themselves. And, you know, actually, they can discover a lot about us as parents, too. I can remember on one of our adventures, we decided, well, what does Dad really want for Father's Day? And they're like, well, Dad loves to go camping. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, it really rains true that my idea of camping is really at the Hilton. It's not out in the woods with all the bugs and the snakes and whatnot. But I'm like, okay, it's Father's Day. We'll do this. We'll do it right. So we go Father's Day weekend. Of course, you know, do I think to look at the weather before we go? No. Does it pour rain the whole weekend? Yes. Do the raccoons come out to play at night and torture the kids? Of course. Did one of the children eat too many hot dogs and s'mores? You bet. And the whole weekend just kept coming up with things like this. But the irony was that even though this was about Dad, and Dad had a great time, he thought it was awesome. I mean, he didn't mind the rain, and he thought the food was great. And the kids were surprised, though, that I knew how to camp, that I knew how to cook on a fire, that I had a cast iron skillet, that lots of things that came up. The kids were very surprised. They had never seen me out of my element of, quote, camping at the Hilton, and that I actually do enjoy being outside and doing some of those things, not particularly in the rain, and I don't particularly like the bugs, but there are ways to work around that, like, you know, weather forecasts. They're out there. We should use them. We learned a lot on that trip. So I think it's one of those times when you get together with kids and you do something different that they can learn a lot about themselves and they can also learn a lot about us, and that we have different parts of us, different sides of us. Now this summer they want to go rappelling, and I thought, well, this is going to be fun because they've never seen Mom rappelling, so this will be a good time.
Boy, I envision some future shows, maybe several years into the future, looking back on rappelling, perhaps. But we do pray it goes well for you. You know, but like you mentioned, the kids are watching, though. Maybe they're impressed. That would be kind of fun. But they're watching how we handle some of those situations that don't always go according to plan. So it can be a learning experience as well, a teachable moment for all of us. I think of the time we did practice camping, probably 6-7 minutes from our home in a suburban campground in Minnesota. And we didn't even own a tent, but we borrowed a brand new tent from my brother-in-law. And we're going to go out there, and the girls are little. They're probably like 5 and 7. And we're going to try it out, go camping for one night, you know, probably a Friday night not far from home. And we get all settled in, and everybody's all cozy with the 4 sleeping bags there on some foam mattresses, and you know, lights out by 10, everybody's happy and quiet and sleeping peacefully till about midnight. And my older daughter, who was getting over a cold, had this unusual sounding cough that kind of sounded like she was throwing up. No, she wasn't, but it kind of sounded like that. And you know, in a tent campground, tents are not very soundproof. You don't hear many radio studios made out of tenting material and nothing else. And so you can hear what's going on in the next tent, I suppose. Our younger one at the time was dealing with night terrors, or kind of you wake up with these nightmares and you don't really snap out of it until you kind of snap out of it. You don't just wake up and then you're good. And so that might go for a couple minutes. And so about midnight on this practice camping night, not far from home, in a beautiful borrowed tent from my brother-in-law, the older kid's coughing a little bit. Again, sounds like she's throwing up. She's okay. She's not throwing up, and she's not really that sick. It's just the unusual noise this cough is making. About the same time, her sister wakes up with one of these night terrors and, you know, is kind of not quite screaming out loud, but, you know, sounding kind of upset. But she's dreaming, so she's not really in danger or mortal danger, even though it might sound like it. And so to someone on the other side of the tent, it might sound like one kid's throwing up and the other one is screaming bloody murder. And we had a couple, 3 different parties kind of knock on the tent, as it were, to see if everything was okay in there. And, you know, sure enough, it was. And eventually everyone settled down and no one threw up and no one was, you know, being hacked to death or mauled by bears or anything like that. And in the morning, I did note, though, we were the only tent left. Everybody else kind of skedaddled out of the way. And, you know, so I don't know that we did a lot more camping after that. I think I've raised daughters that kind of like camping at the Hilton as well.
You're reminding me of how grateful I am that my house has solid walls that do not carry, because we have night terrors and coughing. And I think I might wake up one morning and, you know, we left the window open or something and we don't have any neighbors left. So that, you never know when that's going to happen.
Well, those night terrors, what can you do, though? You know, you know, the kid is okay, really, but you just wish they would wake up for their own peace. But they don't remember it in the morning. You know, it's, I suppose, kind of like, you know, sleepwalking. But yeah, it was it was kind of noisy. And then took a while before we returned the tent, because we'd had some old mattresses that were, you know, put together by my dad with some duct tape. And, you know, anybody who recalls duct tape that's been in use for a while and kind of the sticky stuff is really sticky and hard to get off of the floor of the tent, even with nail polish remover. And then it really smells up the tent. And so we never got to borrow that again either. But maybe that was why we had to
head to the hotel for camping. But nonetheless, we all survived and could tell that story. So, Kim, blessings on rappelling this summer. We look forward to hearing more about that in the future. But Sarah, for you, any particular family plans that might be really crazy stories in the future from this summer?
Yeah, we don't have anything planned so far for this summer, just kind of adventuring around the neighborhood and the cities closest to us. But one quick one that comes to mind, last year around Memorial Day, we went to South Dakota with my family and my sisters and their family and everything. And we were going on this roller coaster, which wasn't really supposed to be a roller coaster. And my parents, this is very uncharacteristically of them, decided they were going to go on the roller coaster. And my mom, her back is like put together with a metal rod. And my dad has always had back issues. So I was like, this seems like a bad choice, but you're adults and I'm not your child. I'm not your parent. So I got on the roller coaster first. And as I'm going on, I'm like, they are totally not going to be able to handle this. So I told them, I kept screaming and screaming while I'm on the roller coaster, don't go on, don't go on. And as soon as I pull in for the roller coaster to be done, they're leaving. And I'm screaming like a wild animal at the people who are working the machine saying, hey, my parents can't be on this. So they had to like stop the ride and go out and pull them back. And it was just totally ridiculous. And I made such a fool of myself. But they were like, thanks for saving us, because they totally would have had really bad back issues for the rest of the trip. So, when you got to be, you're the kid and you got to be the parent.
I totally agree with Sarah. Why would we leave a perfectly good home with solid walls to go out on these adventures?
Well, here's to a safe and happy summer for you ladies and everyone else. Thank you so much, Kim Morgan, and also producer Sarah Tafoya chiming in a little bit too. Time to squeeze in today's story corner now. Our story today called One More to Remember, based on the original getting going of Memorial Day. This is from John Logan, Establishing Decoration Day, 1868. We should guard their graves with sacred vigilance. All that the consecrated wealth and taste of the nation can add to their adornment and security is but a fitting tribute to the memory of her slain defenders. Let no wanton foot tread rudely on such hallowed grounds. Let pleasant paths invite the coming and going of reverent visitors and fond mourners. Let no vandalism of avarice or neglect, no ravages of time testify to the present or coming generations that we've forgotten as a people the cost of a free and undivided republic. If other eyes grow dull and other hands slack, and other hearts cold in the solemn trust, ours shall keep it well as long as the light and warmth of life remain in us. Let us then at the appointed time gather around their sacred remains and garland the passionless mounds above them with the choicest of flowers of springtime. Let us raise above them the dear old flag they saved from dishonor. Let us in this solemn presence renew our pledges to aid and assist those whom they have left among us, a sacred charge upon a nation's gratitude, the soldiers and sailors, widow and orphan. 1 John 3:16 says, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers and sisters. Thanks for joining us this morning. That can be heard again, our story corner in podcast form on the Relevant Radio app. Patrick Madrid, the man with all the answers to questions you didn't even know you had. He's up next after a look at the news as we continue with much more good stuff today right here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.